In my previous video, I spent a considerable amount of time talking about the phenomenon of anhedonia. I am, as I've mentioned, one who suffers from a very strong case of anhedonia. Not much really does anything for me anymore. And I did mention that sometimes it correlates with depression. And today I want to talk a little bit more about depression in a broad sense, because I think there are aspects of depression that we often ignore and that we just don't talk about. Now, as I said, these days, everyone's cousin is depressed, probably. It's very, very frequently diagnosed. And we talk about it a lot. It's funny, though, isn't it, that we talk so much about depression, but there's certain things we don't talk about when we talk about it. And one of the aspects we don't talk about is its natural qualities, so to speak. Now, I'm not here to say that depression is a good thing or it feels good to be depressed. It certainly doesn't. And depression has all kinds of causes. I think in my case, it's not exclusively this, but a big part of it is the chronic insomnia and the inability to sleep well. Being chronically exhausted does nothing to enhance your mood or to make you feel good, quite the opposite. So I would say it's something like 70 to maybe even 80% of the reason why I am basically depressed, at least in some sense. But there's another aspect of depression, even though it's not a good thing, it doesn't feel good, that we don't talk about, that I think is actually very damaging and harmful, ultimately, in this super hyper-medicated society we live in, and that, as I said, the natural qualities it has. If someone's depressed, the first thing you're told is it's really, really bad, and to be avoided at all costs, and that you should immediately do everything in your power to treat it, and essentially to banish it from your life wholesale, which is to say, it's not a good thing, hands down. There's nothing, quote-unquote, positive about it, and you need to take care of it ASAP. It's a bit like cutting your finger or something, or stubbing your toe. You need to treat it immediately, because it's really, really bad. Now, of course, there are different types of depression, right? There is lifelong depression, there are bouts of depression, there's depression you feel for a couple of weeks or months, and again, it's highly variable, and as always, depression has a huge genetic contribution. Some people are, whilst maybe not quite immune to depression, they're very close. I have a close friend, for example, who is not immune to depression, but he's highly, highly resilient. Almost nothing gets him down or troubles him for the most part. He is basically like a machine in this regard. And then you have everything in between. And then you have other people, say, on the far tail end of the bell curve to the left, for whom the slightest inconvenience or little thing can cause serious depression. A lot of variation, and genes play a huge role. And taking that into account, I do often wonder sometimes why so many people rail against the idea of just listening, basically, to how you feel. Now, I'm not somebody who's going to endorse, so just listen to your feelings all the time, but just gain a sense of where you are in the world, rather than just running immediately to a psychiatrist, getting a bunch of meds prescribed, which may be harmful at the end of the day, in some cases at least, and trying to banish this depression that you're feeling to the nether regions of existence, just because you've been told, and everyone's been told, that it's the worst thing possible that you can feel, and God's forbid, and I think this is one of the most salient points here, you spread it, right? Because there's a perception, at least in Western society, I can speak a lot less to the East, but certainly talking about Europe, and to a much greater degree than Europe, I would argue, the United States, that something like depression is contagious. It's like any illness. You can catch a cold. You can catch the flu. Well, basically, in the eyes of many, depression is a contagious illness. And God's forbid you get anyone sick with this illness. God's forbid you infect them. This seems to be, in terms of social relations and interactions, one of the worst things you can do. It's one thing to give somebody a cold. It's another thing to drag them down with your piss-poor mood or your gloominess or your melancholy or however you want to term it. And people are terrified of this. In fact, I think this is probably the number one reason why depression is A, such a big issue, and B, why it's treated like the ultimate boogeyman in existence, because the second you are even somewhat melancholic, there are a lot of people, I can assure you, who are going to run in the opposite direction. I can tell you a little story back in the day. Back in the day, when I was living and working in South Korea, I was sleeping extremely poorly. I've never slept well, but even worse than I am now, arguably. And I had a colleague at this institution I was working at. His name was Rob. And Rob and I were pretty good friends for about a year or so. But I was under a lot of pressure due to the insomnia issues, and both of us were being worked to the bone. And I was, as a result, primarily of the lack of sleep, but probably just due to inherent genetic differences, a little less resilient to everything. And so I had come down with a case of the Mondays. No, just kidding. The case of the blues, depression, however you want to term it. And this Rob guy countenanced that somewhere between 2 or 4 weeks, I think. And then one day, we're at the gym together, and he just walks up to me and says, "Look, I don't think we can be friends anymore." And I'm a little bit shocked, and I say, "Well, why is that?" And he just explains to me, basically, that he doesn't want to be infected with my mood, which is fair enough. And then I ask him a bunch of questions, and then he departs. Now, a lot of people are highly variable when it comes to this and their friendships, because I'm not the type of person to abandon someone just because they're depressed, even if they're depressed all the time. In fact, it's somewhat relatable. But a lot of people who are more in the, how shall we put it, fair weather friend section of the map, they're the types of people that, well, when the going gets tough, the not so tough get going, so to speak. And I don't even blame Rob to this day. I mean, he was that type of guy, very superficial, blah, blah, blah. Funnily enough, about a year or two ago, he randomly sent me an email asking how I was doing and if I were still around doing stuff. And I didn't answer because, look, it's fair enough for him to go out of his way to tell me how he can't be friends with me because I was too depressed for his taste. Then I just say, that's great, good for you. But it also means that I don't want to associate with you either. So I'm not going to somehow respond to some email 15 years later or however many years later it was, because fair is fair at the end of the day. But this is a serious issue, because the expectation is that you're always supposed to be content. You're always supposed to be happy. You're always supposed to be running around with a smile plastered on your face. Now, speaking of which, I think it's one of the reasons, the powerful reasons, why the original Joker film, not the sequel to it, which was a flop, obviously, for even more obvious reasons, but the original Joker film touched so many people and resonated with so many people because they found it relatable. Because here was this guy who basically was forced to put on a smile for the sake of the world because nobody wanted to see him not smile. And a lot of people find themselves in precisely this situation. I'm not saying depression is good, but it's kind of a part of life, I think, to varying degrees, depending on who you are. It's like any sick, it's like anything. And some people, unfortunately, are chronically ill. They have chronic illnesses they have to deal with. I'd argue my insomnia is a form of that. And some people don't get sick as often, with everything in between. But for people who are more susceptible, even average people, I'd say, to depression and feelings of melancholy because of things in their lives, this is an important thing to underscore. Because you will be told immediately to shut the hell up, put a smile on your face, and make sure that you do not infect anyone with your melancholy. And it's not just your friends, by the way, or your fair-weather friends who are going to do this to you. It can be your partners. Hell, my parents did this to me almost 40 years ago, right? The progenitors of my existence, those who gave me my crappy DNA. They're not supposed to do that, right? No, they did do that. They basically told me to put a smile on my face and to not bother them with my problems. Later on in my life, they also told me to never call them unless I have good news to relate to them, and so on and so forth. So this is a serious problem. And I'm not sure, at the end of the day, if the automated allergic reaction to any sign of melancholy or gloominess or quote-unquote depression is the best solution. Because A, you're probably going to make the people even more depressed, and B, you're solving absolutely nothing. Through a combination of A and B, basically. You're telling the person to go piss off or to put a smile on their face. What do you think they're going to do when they're having their downtime and when they're by themselves? Well, they're probably going to feel even more depressed. Now, you can say, well, it's not your problem how they feel in their private time. And I suppose that's true. But it's pretty obvious in such a scenario that when you're doing that and you're saying that, you're revealing your true colors. It's occurred to me many times in recent years, something I sort of always suspected back in the day, but is very clear to me right now, I think I'm 100% sure, that a lot of people are very indifferent, if not outright, very much in favor of feeling Schadenfreude about various things, right? They don't actually want to help you. They want you to shut up and leave them alone. And if you're struggling with a problem, they don't even want you to succeed at that. They want you to succeed, in the best case scenario, the way they themselves have done it. So let's say you have an alcohol problem, and someone comes along and says, well, I quit the bottle cold turkey, and I was able to do it, so everyone needs to do it the way I did it. And if you can't, if you need maybe an external medical intervention, or you need a lot of social support to make sure that you maintain your sobriety, then you're a loser, you're a failure, and nobody should be dealing with you, right? This is the type of attitude a lot of people have. They don't want to see you feel better. They just want you to get out of the way, or they want you to dance to their own tune in the way you go about things and the way you handle things. So that's the cold, harsh reality we live in when it comes to our beloved society. The fact that people don't want to hear about problems. I get it. Sometimes I don't want to hear about problems either. But we shouldn't pretend, at the very least, that we care about people's problems. We shouldn't pretend that telling somebody to go see a therapist or a psychiatrist or get on meds, that the intention behind that is usually just pure concern. Now, it could be concern in some cases. Maybe the person feels empathy, or maybe they don't want you to feel horrible things, and they really do think that you're feeling horrible things and that you really are suffering. But I can tell you plenty of other instances where that's not the case, manifestly not the case. And maybe more often than not, it's not the case. If you're depressed, if you're melancholic, that's a problem that needs to be fixed ASAP, like putting a Band-Aid on a cut, and it just doesn't work that way. Humans are not wired that way. There's a reason why we become depressed. There's a lot of genetic input, but there's a lot of environmental input too. I mean, I often have this internal bet in my own head about the relationship of chronic insomnia and depression, and I can guarantee you that most average people, maybe even most non-average people, if they were sleeping as little as I do for the decades I've done it, would be depressed as hell as well, if not more so. And so, people just don't think. But I think it's also important to talk about quote-unquote depression in a way that's somewhat natural, and in a way that does not sort of poison the well, that does not demonize the phenomenon and thereby demonize the person feeling it and the person who's struggling with it, or the person who just has quote-unquote aberrant thoughts that are different from what is expected to be felt. We have a lot of this conformist behavior in our society. I think when it comes to depression, it's one of the worst forms of it. Now, I do get it to varying degrees. If you're running a business, if you're trying to sell things, yes, put on your stupid plastic smile and fake it until you make it. But there is collateral damage there too, because I've known plenty of people in their public working lives that fake it to make it, that are utterly miserable, and in some cases ended up committing autothanatosis, if you get my drift. And that's a reason to maybe approach these things a little bit differently, because most of us agree that autothanatosis is not a good thing. As the expectation that in every sphere of public life, you're always supposed to present your best side, your happiest side, the fake plastered smile, and then whatever you're doing in your free time by yourself in your downtime, that's when you can feel miserable. That amplifies it because it saps you of your energy for half the day or for however long you have to do these things that you're required to do for work or what have you. And then when you are currently by yourself in your downtime, what do you feel? You feel even more miserable because you're not accepted because you spent half the day with your fake smile at the office or at the counter showing people how you're supposed to feel rather than what you actually feel. Is there a good solution to this? I'm not sure, but some awareness, some increasing awareness that there is an aspect of depression element that is totally natural, that is highly variable between individuals. Some people, genetically, are going to be more depressed than others for longer periods of time than others, and that it's a part of life like anything else, like getting sick, like cutting yourself, like going through times. It's part of life, not this ultimate demon, this Satan, that has to be besieged and conquered in an instant through medication and through other means. Yes, you can do that. And sometimes that stuff does help, but it doesn't always help, and it's something to be thinking about and something to consider. Anyway, as always, thank you for tuning in. Many special thanks to my very generous patrons on Patreon and my donors on PayPal. You guys are the best. Without you, this channel simply could not exist. And if you want to be informed of my videos and get notifications, hit the bell icon to be informed of them. Not everyone gets notified, so it's really important. And if you engage in the usual YouTube jazz of liking the video, sharing the video would be much appreciated. Commenting always helps. Subbing if you're not in a sub. Until the next time, if I'm still alive, I'll check you out then. May the gods truly watch over you. Bye-bye for now. If you liked this video, please like, share, and subscribe. And if you enjoy my content, please consider making a donation or becoming a patron. Thanks for watching.